So, reading from Brahmacharya in Krishna Consciousness by Bhakti Vikas Swami. The meaning of Brahmacharya. Basically, Brahmacharya means celibacy. Karmana, manasa, vacha, sarva, vastha, su, sarvada, sarvatra, maithuna, tyago, brahmacharyam, prachakshate. The vow of Brahmacharya is meant to help one completely abstain from sex, indulgence in work, words and mind, in one's activities, words and mind at all times, under all circumstances and in all places. There are eight aspects of Brahmacharya, as described in Sridhar Swami's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text 12. Srila Prabhupada gives the translation of this without giving the Sanskrit, which I'll now give. Smaranam, Kirtanam, Keli, Prikshanam, Guhya Bhashanam, Sankalpo Dhyavasayascha, Kriya Nivritir Evacha. One should not think about women, speak about sex life, dally with women, look lustfully at women, talk intimately with women, decide to engage in sexual intercourse, endeavor for sex life, or engage in sex life. One should not dally. You know what the word dally means? It means to hang around with. That's how Srila Prabhupada translated keli. Keli is it's usually translated more like playful, or to joke around with, to engage in playful activities with, like this. So, this is just the opposite of pretty much everything that modern society stands for. Although it is not, we're not explicitly instructed to do so, but we can say that in modern culture, the whole idea is to think about women, talk about sex, to mix with women, to look lustfully at women, to talk intimately with them, to decide to engage in sexual intercourse, to endeavor for sex life, and to actually do it, to engage in sex life. So we don't come from a very good cultural background. But if we are to be Krishna conscious, then we have to be brahmacharis, and if we're to be brahmacharis, then we have to give up all thoughts of personal sense enjoyment, of which the most prominent, the most powerful binding force in this world is that of sexual desire, maithunagara, the chain of desire for sex indulgence is that which binds one to the material world. The first mentioned here is to think about women, as smaran, to remember. Smaran is, especially in Gauriya Vaishnava culture, actually in all, because in all branches of Vaishnava dharma, there is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. But in Gauriya Vaishnava culture, that sadhana is in some branches of the Gauriya Vaishnava sampradaya, that sadhana of remembering Krishna. It means to constantly remember Krishna. And that means not just in a general way, but what he looks like, what he's doing, what he likes to eat, what he likes to, how he likes to dress. All these aspects are remembered. All these are aspects of remembrance that one should think about. So if one's consciousness may be overtaken by thoughts of a particular woman, then you think about how she looks, how she talks, how she dresses, and all this kind of thing. But such thoughts are not at all conducive for advancement in Krishna consciousness. Smaranam should be there. Here in this verse, what not to do is described. What is that? Smaranam kirtanam. But generally we're always advised to do smaranam kirtanam. But it's just the subject matter has changed from smaranam kirtanam of sense gratification to smaranam kirtanam of Krishna. That's why it's stated. Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam. We should hear, chant and remember about Vishnu. Because anyway, shravanam kirtanam smaranam is going on. If we don't hear about, chant about and remember Krishna, then we'll hear about, chant about and remember some beautiful woman or even not very beautiful woman. Some object of our attraction. So this appears to be very anti-women. But it's not anti-women, it's warning us of the danger of being victimized by lusty thoughts. So we may think, well, how is this possible when our training has been just the opposite since birth, or even before birth, since time immemorial, birth after birth. Our situation is dhanam janam sundarim kavitam janmani janmani. That birth after birth we are thinking of money, women, prestige, name, fame, followers. Birth after birth, this is our bad practice. But that has to be changed. This is actually quite revolutionary way of thinking. That who in the world is thinking like this? I mean, there are many revolutionaries, communist revolutionaries, and in Syria there's supposed to be revolutionaries at the present time, and then people want to change the world and make an ecologically better world and throw over the corporations, kick out Monsanto, but no one's thinking of how to give up sex desire. Kick out Monsanto so that we can live very peacefully and happily and nicely and healthily, enjoy ourselves in the material world. So it's quite amazing that people are taking to Krishna consciousness with this, if we talk about this. Mostly we don't talk about this. Why are there so many problems in our movement? Because we don't talk about this. That's what Srila Prabhupada said. I quoted that in here. Why Giriraj Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada that we have the best philosophy, we have the best lifestyle, we have the best spiritual master, and still we have so many problems in our movement. Why? And Srila Prabhupada said, because the brahmacharis and sannyasis associate with women. Heavy answer. With women means may not even be directly associating, but just even indirectly, the thought. I remember once in Mayapur that one sannyasi said in a lecture, and it like shook everyone. He was saying that everyone in the world, everything that men does is simply to attract women. And he was saying they build big buildings, they drive in big cars, and he said that some men even take sannyas to attract women. Stunning. It may be. So, we have to give up these, even the thought. How is it possible in living in a society where not only have our thoughts been molded in that way, but all around us everything is at least indirectly promoting enjoy, 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 enjoy your senses. It's possible by discussing such topics as this. It's possible by strong absorption in Krishna consciousness. everyone has to be, everyone who wants to be a pure devotee of Krishna has to be a brahmachari. Whatever ashram they may be in, one has to be withdrawn from sense enjoyment, the central point of which is sexual enjoyment, because sexual enjoyment, that is the impetus for all other kinds of material attachment and bondage. That is why woman is called stri. Stri means vistara, by which there is expansion. So that is described in Srimad Bhagavatam by Rishabdev. Pungsastriya mituni bhavameta tayoraho hridaya grantimahu ato griha kshetra sutapta vitari janasya moho yamahamameti. He says that the binding force in this material world is the attraction between male and female, which causes the knot to become bound up, the heart to be bound up with knots of material attachment. It means it becomes very hard. The love of Krishna, the heart should be very soft, but the heart becomes hard with material attachments, and by that attachment to that pungsastriya mituni bhava, the sexual feelings between male and female, from which develop desires and for home, not just desires, one practically has to happen, home, identification with one's body, community, society, nation, griha kshetra, for children, relatives, money. So in this way, sexual attraction is the central binding force in material existence. So these topics should be discussed. It's maybe not so popular. Several devotees said to me this morning after class, that was a very nice class, because I was talking about how Krishna is very kind and loving. But we also need to hear how this material world is not kind or loving, how this material world is not a place of our enjoy, for ourselves to enjoy, and that the attempt to enjoy it is simply a cause of suffering. We need to hear this also. Both sides and are required. Actually, all sides. Srila Prabhupada said we should see all the topics of Krishna consciousness from all angles of vision. So, especially those who have taken to the brahmachari ashram, they're taking training in how to become free from, or at least to make the endeavor to become free from sensual desires, understanding that these tie us up in this material world. There are many verses we can learn. It's also very good for brahmacharis to learn verses. Brahmacharis are meant for study of shastra. That's the principal activity of brahmacharis in Vedic culture. Of course, they'd be young boys. Brahmacharis nowadays are mostly young men, but young boys, they're meant for study. So this very important verse you can learn from Bhagavad Gita, if we just learn this, it will be so helpful in our lives as we can see its practical effects. It's not a matter of blind faith, like we're told, read the Bible, believe, you just have to believe it. But in this verse of Bhagavad Gita, we can practically see its effect. Yehi sang sparashaja bhoga dukhayonaya evate adyantavanta kaunteyana teshu ramate buddhaha. That the happiness or the pleasure that comes from touch, and that actually means all kinds of sensual pleasure, but especially touch, the pleasure of touch. That means the pleasure that comes from touching another body. It's sexual pleasure, and all others, the hearing for sense gratification, tasting for sense gratification, seeing for sense gratification, all kinds of sense gratification. Although we engage in sense gratification because we think it will be pleasurable, but the actual effect is misery. Beginning, middle, and end. There's misery in it. Therefore, an intelligent person does not take part in it. This is very important to understand, especially on a sunny day. Beautiful women are walking around, scantily dressed, and everything seems perfect for sense gratification. But we should know that this is doom for our spiritual life. That we have had the good fortune to take to Krishna consciousness with at least some for anyone to take to Krishna consciousness so seriously that they take up four regulated principles, chanting 16 rounds, brahmachari life, means they must have some good insight into how this material world, everything that's being offered in it, is not for me. That's not relishable. But Maya is always pulling us back. Remember this, that what seems attractive is like the cheese in a mousetrap for the mouse. Or the sweet playing of the flute by the hunter, which attracts the deer, the innocent deer. If you hear some very sweet flute playing, you think, oh, that's... whoever's playing that must be a very nice person to have make such a sweet sound. But that is death for the deer. He comes close before the hunter, who puts aside the flute, picks up his bow and arrow and shoots the deer dead. So, these are traps. It seems very nice, but we should know it is not nice. So, Smaranam Kirtanam Keli Prekshanam, and what's the next one? Guhya Bhashanam. Yeah, all this. To cultivate thought of women. It's not possible not to think of women completely. Because everywhere we will see. Unless we go to the caves. But even if we go to the cave, our mind goes with us. So, we have to cultivate this. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur states that it's wherever we go, there will be women. So, what to do if we want to stop thinking of women? But one should have the determination that I will not engage in sex. And then that form of the woman which seems so attractive to us ceases to be attractive. Just like if we make the determination, today is fasting, today I shall not eat. And then whatever nice foods are there, they don't hold attraction because we think some natural attraction will be there, but we've already decided, no, I'm not going to eat. And so it doesn't hold any attraction. That we can experience, that although many foods may seem attractive to us, that ice cream, or in India there are sweet shops with nice sweets, and then decaffeinated coffee or denatured, what's that called? Beer, near beer, and all this kind of thing. So it may seem attractive, but if we've decided I'm only going to take Krishna prasadam, then you can go past the ice cream shop and you won't even notice it's there. So, at the same time, Brahmachari should keep a little distance from ladies, respectful, but not mix very much. That's not very proper. Anyway, that Brahmachari should mix and talk and joke, and that's prominent in modern society. But even previously, just a few decades ago, that would not have been proper, even in the West, for men and women to mix very much. That young unmarried girl will mix with young unmarried boy, or married woman will mix with other men like this. America was founded on the principle of freedom, but freedom of religion. But I don't know if the founding fathers would be very pleased, or they'd be shocked to see that normal, respectable women walk around in shorts. How can you be respectable if you walk around in shorts? There was at the time of America, the founding fathers, there were founding mothers too, but the mothers didn't go around in shorts. They'd have long dresses. It was unthinkable that they might not have wanted to found America if there was so much prostitution. It's become a very bad situation, but it's considered normal. So anyway, Brahmachari should understand, if we're going to be Brahmachari, should understand this principle, sarvatra maituna tyaga. Not only sarvatra, but yeah, sarva avasthasu sarvada. Yeah, in all circumstances. What is it? In all circumstances, at all times, and in all places, to give up association, or sarvatra maitran, to give up sex. And what are those eight aspects of sex that are described there? So it's very difficult, no doubt. There's no one saying it's easy. But that has to be there. Otherwise, our Krishna consciousness can't develop. Another very important verse. This one verse is practically the essence of everything that Krishna consciousness means. If we can learn this and apply this in our life. Atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam krishnendriya priti icha dhare prema nam. Material desire, karma, means to desire for our own sense gratification. And prema, love of Krishna, means that our desires are for Krishna's enjoyment, to please Krishna's senses. So just this little switch, instead of thinking how I shall enjoy, you think how Krishna, I am meant for Krishna's pleasure, how we shall please Krishna, everything for Krishna's pleasure. So these are the most basic principles of spiritual life and of brahmacharya, which to take up this ashram is very glorious, no doubt. So especially in the first years you're coming, you get a solid basis by dedication, surrender, study all the books very carefully, hear nicely, keep good association, don't waste time. This is brahmachari life. To have brahmacharis who are just lolling about and filling up the space in the ashram making sure there's no Mahaprasad left over. This is not the duty of a brahmachari. You should practice very seriously. Otherwise there's no meaning to it. It's farcical. So, there are a few words. Whatever I said is all in this book. So, this can be studied also. Any questions about this?
Thank you, Maharaj. You spoke a bit about how we have to make a determination that I'm not going to, you know, engage in sex life, pursue sex life, think about sex life, just like if we're fasting for a day. We've made that sankalpa, you know, that's my fixation. And yet, speaking for myself, and I hope it's relevant to a few others, even though I made the determination so many times, okay, no more thinking about sex life, no more attraction, inevitably.
No more thinking, no more attraction. I've decided. And then again.
And then one feels morose.
Then one feels morose.
You get more and more morose. I think more and more. What's the point of even trying?
What's the point of trying? Well, if one really can't, if one really is not doing too well, then one does not have to continue practicing brahmachari in the brahmachari ashram. He can continue to practice brahmachari in the grihastha ashram. If one is struggling so much. But otherwise, one should know that to not be fully successful immediately is expected. That's why there is the brahmachari ashram. Otherwise, there's no need of being in any ashram. Then you just be a paramahamsa. But that is training. So training means to go on trying. And one need not be morose. Moroseness is also tamagun. Moroseness is that one is goes on, that even after trying, one thinks, now I will give up thinking of sex life. And again one thinks. And again one thinks, now I'm really going to stop. And again. But still, moroseness, that is not good, because moroseness means that we lost faith in Krishna and in the process of Krishna consciousness. We should know that Krishna will help us. We should, and if we go on trying, Krishna will help us. So at least one should be determined not to engage in illicit sexual activities. That should not be there. And for a brahmachari, illicit means any sexual activity. Illicit sexual activity is only within marriage. So one has to see if it's going to be one's lifelong call. If you can, that's very nice, that's very good. Do you give brahmachari class here? Well, you should do. Older men, how they have gone through life serving Krishna. It's very, here in the West, here. I mean, Southern California is like it's like the world capital of sense gratification, isn't it? Pretty much. New York is also, but they don't really have the proper atmosphere because of the weather. Whereas in Southern California, it's never very cold. No rain or snow, little rain. So it's beachland. So to remain practicing Krishna consciousness throughout one's life here is a great challenge. I mean, it's a great achievement to have done that. So you can take shelter of and guidance from the older devotees. whichever ashram they may be in, because they may be married, but they're following the principles, so engaging in Krishna's service. So that's a great achievement in this sinful age, in this sinful place. So you can take guidance and inspiration from them. Anything else? No.
If Maharaj Anand and Krishna Bhog, Srimad Bhagavatam, had mentioned that when Krishna and Balaram went to Gurukul, they were trained in so many different, all these different arts and all these different kind of practices. And I was just curious. I mean, I know when Prabhupada came to America, you know, it seemed like first he was just trying to engage people in just pure devotional service, you know, just become, you know, pure devotee. But, you know, then towards the end, I mean, you know, it's still the same goal, but, you know, it seems as though towards the end he was sort of emphasizing more Varnashram Dharma and, you know, these sort of the cultural progression, you know, to kind of aid the process. I was just curious if it would be conducive for brahmacharis to learn some of these different you know, arts and these different.
Whether devotees should learn the 64 kalas, the 64 arts that Krishna did in Gurukul, maybe for children if they're trained. Otherwise, if you come later, it's a bit late to learn so many specialized things like how to make music with water put in vessels at different, so you have different vessels with different amount of water. And it's not the most important thing you need to learn. That, so maybe some of them for those who are trained. But Brahmacharya, yeah, well, I wrote that in the book, that if you, these activities which are central to Krishna consciousness, playing musical instruments, cooking, these are central activities that are central to Krishna consciousness. So those things are good. But some of the more detailed ones, learning the art of how birds, the language of birds and all this kind of thing. So that may not be so essential. And even if you can find anyone to teach you all these things.
On that same point, Maharaj, how much scope is there for creative expression in the Brahmacharya?
How much scope is there for creative expression in the Brahmacharya ashram? Well, creative expression, if it's not that of an idiot or a child, requires training. A musician, an expert musician, has creative expression, but first they have to be trained in basic music, right? If you just give them some instrument and they can be as creative as they like, but it'll be cacophonous. It won't sound proper. So creative, first comes training, then comes the question of creative expression. So, creative expression means, what is there? There's cooking, you can cook for Krishna, dress the deity, but it shouldn't be too creative in dressing the deity. You know? There are always guidelines to follow. Cooking also, there are certain guidelines to follow. So training is required and the thoughts of creative expression come later. First training. Drama. Is Krishna consciousness full of art? So drama is there? Yeah.
Sometimes on Sankirtan, we might have Parameshwara says Brahmacharya should only approach Prabhu's mostly men. And he says, I will only talk to as many Matajis as I can count on my one hand. and sometimes not even that in a day. This is very dangerous. If a brahmachari is on boat distribution, it's very dangerous. And sometimes on the camping festivals, we go from camp spot to camp spot, and it might be Matajis or at Sankirtan, they might approach us, or we may think this Mataji may take a book. So my question is, what do you think of this?
The necessity of preaching and protecting oneself also. Should one approach women with books? Well, Parameshwar Prabhu is committed brahmachari who's leading others in book distribution for many years in America. So you can take his guidance. Vaisheshika Prabhu, what does he say about this?
I'm not sure, Maharaj.
See, he's a householder, so for a householder may have more license in that regard. But a brahmachari, if you understand, brahmachari seems to make good sense, doesn't it, to approach men. But like you're saying, you go to festivals where people are camped out and it's all men and women mixed up. So that you have to use your good intelligence. See, if your mind is getting disturbed, then probably better not go there. Save yourself. That's an important consideration, isn't it? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, I had another question too about if you happen to know of any techniques for changing the, you know, like the semen into ojas.
Techniques for changing the semen into ojas. Well, Srila Prabhupada didn't teach all that. He spoke of that. How the semen will go up and all this. So there must be in yoga and all. They talk about kundali. I've heard that's very dangerous to even think of that kundali yoga. You can really get messed up. Devotees have shown me some sitting. You have to sit with your... And Prabhupada mentioned... Well, it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam how you have to sit with your... With your... the back of your foot in the... crutch and all this. I'm not sure exactly how it works. Maybe someone could show you. So the answer, I know. I don't know very well. You could maybe find someone in India who could show you that. How to turn the semen into ojas.
Also,
I'm not discounting such practices. I mean, if you can find something which is simply and easily done, then which can help, some technique of sitting or something, then why not do it? But I just don't know it very well, that's all.
Is it also that when we control this lust and our genitals, then Is it also meaning that energy is getting put more to our...
Right. Yeah, that's the point. That very good point. That in the energy, instead of being wasted in desires for sense enjoyment, is channeled toward Krishna. Rupa Goswami says that, doesn't he? That he prays that may my attraction for you, Krishna, be like that young boys and young girls have between them. So it's a very powerful force, isn't it? Power of lust is very strong. If we can channel that toward Krishna, then it's very powerful. That's what we want.
In my service, Sankirtan book distribution, I approach many women. And sometimes actually I meditate, but I ask my spiritual master, Dharanta Swami, what shall I do? He said, who is saving? So I'm still doing that. And I just tolerate.
So there's another perspective, yeah.
I just tolerate him, and we think it's okay. I mean, I try to be more Christian conscious and tolerate him.
Yeah, there's another perspective, that if you don't distribute to the women, who will save them? So, but the books have their way of getting around anyway, whoever you give them to. But if you can do without being so much disturbed, than you can do. But some other devotees, they do become disturbed. Now, I know many serious devotees who, you know, they don't really want to, but they find them, especially in the summer, they find themselves becoming disturbed when women are less dressed. So, if you can do, that's very good. But it may not be for everyone. Maybe different strokes for different folks.
There is also in Krishna book 164, Bhag, Krishna Balaram Varni, you know. One is actually how to subdue material desire.
How to subdue.
Brahma Shri can use in, you know, to subdue sexual desire. But it's not explained anymore.
Have to go and find someone. How to subdue material desire, one of the arts, yeah, but ultimately it's not mechanical. There may be mechanical processes, but ultimately we have to become advanced in Krishna consciousness. But if we don't try to become free from material desire, then we also can't become Krishna conscious. So to some extent we can say that there's some techniques.
Maharaj, you spoke a little bit about some habits that we might do which can cause problems. I'm discussing approaching women on Sankirtan, different types of eating. I'm just asking, in your experience, what is your opinion of one of the main sort of habitual things that devotees do which can really
what are the worst things devotees can do?
What we kind of, you know, do as a habit that sometimes flies under the radar, as they say.
What are you talking about? Masturbation?
No, like something like some people stay up too late, or some eating the wrong things. What are one of the worst things that we can?
Well, things we shouldn't do. Yeah, like that. Unnecessarily staying up late. Sometimes may be required for service. But just chit-chatting and then wasting our time at night and then missing part of the morning program or being groggy in the morning program. Yeah, it's brahmacharya is a life of discipline. So it's good to have some senior brahmacharya disciplining also. Hey, lights off. 9 o'clock, lights off. Or maybe a little later. That's good. What else did you say? Eating too much?
Yeah. I mean, which one of those do you think you see the most as being a habitual problem?
A habitual problem among modern brahmacharis. Well,
this question is asked to Dravida Prabhu. He said, the thing I found to be the most detrimental is staying up too late.
Staying up late, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm mostly in India, and staying up late is a difficult thing to get around because the preaching mostly is late at night because people work till late. So, like I say, it's a difficult one to get around. In the West, especially if you're doing book distribution in a regulated way, you can, if you're doing book distribution in Los Angeles, you can lead a very regulated life, take rest early. So, yeah, as much as possible, take rest early. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. So we have heard.
Sometimes it's said that a brahmachari in the Western world, when he interacts with Madhijis, he should somewhat be more liberal so he doesn't seem weird. Or sometimes it may seem if a brahmachari, he's, even in the temple with the temple Madhijis.
Yeah, it's a cultural dilemma. That should brahmacharis be nice to women so that they're, or just in normal dealings be nice to them, or just behave somewhat like people in general behave with them. For me as a sannyasi, it's a dilemma because actually a sannyasi or brahmachari, you're not supposed to look at women or talk to them or anything. So if you don't, they may think you're strange. But sometimes if you do, they think, why are they looking at me? So, you know, just at least to acknowledge they're there. So it's a dilemma. You have to work it out yourself, what to do. But usually that brahmacharis who end up getting married, it's often out of misplaced compassion. So I would recommend being more strict than less strict. And those among Matajis who are serious, they'll respect that also. Doesn't mean you have to be impolite to them. When required, you can talk to them, but one should actually be very respectful to them. But friendliness, well, you have to see. Over-friendliness often leads to trouble also. But there are so many elderly Matajis, just like here in this community, then you can, you don't have to be so, you know, so reserved with women who are grandmother's age. These are simple principles too. You can understand yourself. You don't even have to ask me, actually. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.